This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
It's here, Peloton's best offer of the season. Get up to $300 off accessories when you purchase a Peloton Tread. Choose from accessories like a heart rate monitor, non-slip grip dumbbells, yoga blocks, and more. If you've been looking for a sign to join Peloton, this offer gives you everything you need to get going. Hurry, Peloton's best offer of the season is here, but not for long. Visit onepeloton.com to learn more. All access membership separate. Limited time offer cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to episode 2 of The Dragon Reviewed. This is the Genreverse Podcast Network's Wheel of Time review show. Today, we're going to be reviewing episode 4 of Wheel of Time, which was released on Friday. I'm just quickly going to go over our crew here. Myself, Cam Clark, I am the Cameron seat in this particular instance. I am a book reader. I'm a fan of the story. I've read all the books. And also with me, and who you're probably going to be hearing a little bit more of, is the Malones, Christine and Kyle. How are you guys?
I'm attacking my microphone, yeah. But I'm good, man. How are you?
Good. In a moment, obviously, we'll get on to what these guys thought of the latest episode of The Wheel of Time. First of all, I just want to go over our spoiler policy for this. So we're a little bit different maybe from some other podcasts that's out there. We're trying to keep things spoiler-free in terms of what happens in the book for the fans like Christine and Kyle that are watching it for the first time and have never read those books. I don't want to go and spoil it to them, tell them what happens at the end, who dies, who lives, and all that sort of stuff. No one wants to know that at the start of a series. So we're not going to do that, but we will be covering spoilers for the actual episode itself. We'll be talking about everything that's happened in episode 4 or anything from episode 1-3 up until this point. But and I will talk about some of the book changes that have been made for the better or worse, but not actually any spoilers. And that means you can get these guys' predictions on where they think the story is going, which is kind of the fun part, actually, for me and probably most of the book readers that might pick this up and listen to it at some point as well. So before we get started, I'm just going to throw over to Kyle for a little bit of housekeeping.
Hey guys, be sure to check out LRMonline.com every day for all your entertainment news, needs, and opinions. And of course, the Genreverse.com website is live. You can use it. It goes to LRM's homepage for now. We're working on our landing pages. Genreverse Podcast Network from LRM Online, anywhere you get your podcast from, and in LRM's YouTube channel, celebrity interviews, all the podcasts that go up in video format, so you can see our beautiful faces, well, at least hers. And then, like, share, subscribe, thumbs up, down. We'll take the hate clicks, but yeah, we really appreciate it. We're almost at 5,000 followers on our subscribers on YouTube, so it would be great if we could break that in by the end of the year. But you know, we don't do Patreon, and we. The website is our primary source of income for the company. So, hey, bookmark it. Help us out on YouTube with some ad revenue. Help us keep it free for you guys. Take
and
it away, Cam.
If you do listen to this show and there's things you like about what we do or things you would like to see us cover more of, please let us know in the comments or let us know online on Twitter. We'll give you our Twitter handles and everything like that.
Sorry, Grow Generation.
I've got something.
You forgot Grow Generation, our sponsor. Yeah. There, I might just put the video at the very beginning so people see it, since it's going to take like three minutes to plug our sponsors.
Okay, so first things first, you may have noticed my glasses look too small for me. That's because I broke them 2 days ago and I have still to get a new pair. So yeah, these are actually too small for me and one prescription out. But hey ho, we'll manage. let's get straight into it. I'm going to start with you this week, Kyle, and we're just going to go straight into what you thought about episode 4 and then what grade you give it. Then we're going to do the same for Christine and then myself last. So take it away, my friend.
This episode, it really taught me one thing. This is Battlestar Galactica. Not story. The reimagining from 0305. I mean, in tone and flow and the way that the show is structured. Very, very, very character driven. You've got your political factions like the Baltar and the Roslin and the Adama factions. You've got this really, really cool, epic story that's very character focused, full of action, but the action's all in the background. And I was just watching the show and I'm like, you know, I'm getting these Battlestar vibes. Again, not story, because that's, you know, completely different. You're talking genocide and survivors on a caravan, which, yeah, sure, you could say the Tinkers are you know, analog for that. But I just mean in structure and flow. And I think that's part of why I kind of slipped into this fantasy show so much easier than I do most fantasy properties. And this episode had a lot of really great character moments, a lot of exposition, but none of it was dry, none of it was boring. You start hearing the different colors, the reds, the blues, the greens. You're starting to learn what each group does with the one power. You've got like a warrior class, you've got more like a books class, a healer class, and things like that. And we didn't get it all explained, but you're starting to get it, and I like that they didn't weigh it down. You know, they let you kind of see with the exposition. And then I got to make the have you ever played Overlord on Xbox?
Oh god.
Where you have you control the little minion creatures. They look like gremlins, and it's kind of like Pikmin. It's
a great
great game. And whenever you choose the different colored minions to do different, you know, tasks, it'll say, you know, their colors. So it's like, ooh, red. And then it's like, ooh, greens. And when I heard them saying, you know, oh, you're green, like that popped in my mind. And I did the voice. And there's a lot of really fun things. One of the coolest moments, and I know I'm skipping around in the story here, was the learning about the warders and the actual relationship. And how varied it can be from very, very stoic and platonic to completely, like they said, beyond husband and wife. And they allude to, yeah, they definitely can hook up together, the Aes Sedai and their warders, or at least that's kind of what
especially
you infer from
Yeah, the greens certainly do. Sometimes more than one.
Yeah, they were like, I can't imagine only having one warder.
Sometimes they can be a little bit greedy.
And so I enjoyed that, but, and I know Christine will want to talk about this, but there's always something fun about seeing a character have their worldview fucking obliterated, and that's what happens to
Nynaeve.
Nynaeve. Sorry.
Close enough.
Her whole worldview on Aes Sedai, the world as she knows it, just piece by piece, just starts falling apart. And even some of the people that you didn't necessarily like, the red that's there, you're like, oh, there's all these ulterior motives. And really, all you're seeing is just like the stress of this age. And the weight of their mission and everything like falling on them. But her learning what she does was, like I said, it's just one of those character moments, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I really, 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 really enjoyed it. I would have to say this would be, if I could go back and drop last episode to like a B plus, this would be the A minus. But I'll just stick with the A minus for it now, because I don't know what's gonna come up next. I can't think of anything that I just didn't care for. Oh, I'll say this: the Dark Weave, is that what the lines and stuff is called?
You're talking about with Logan's character. You see all the
the black one coming out. Yeah, he's also got white ones. So that looks awful in CGI during daylight shots, but
So other than you mean like in the prologue part when they show you his backstory?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He's going after the king and everything like that. Yeah,
that's one of those little Kyle nitpicking type things.
Whether you like the CGI or not, I love the depiction of it sort of almost forming into characters behind them, which were new voices that he was hearing. You know,
and
that
leads
that
towards
nice visual representation.
It shows you what he was kind of talking about when he's like, "Oh, I hear all the voices of 1,000 dragons before me," and I'm like, "Nah, dude, you just fucking sick in the head." It's great, man. This was a solid episode, and I can't wait to see more in it. What a shocking ending! Like you like you said in the books, you already know who the dragon is. They don't come out right and say it's Nynaeve. I can't get the.
It's okay.
They don't outright say it's her, but they definitely give you that impression because the Loghain is like fuck, and all the women are like. Fuck. Okay, well, it's definitely not him, and they fucking rip the one power from him, or at least that's what I'm guessing is going on.
Yes,
because the Gleeman explains
they call
that.
There's two words for it, either a stilling or a gentling. Mm. For males, they call it gentling, because, you know, they think they're doing a kindness to them.
Mm-hmm.
Not really, but
it's a lobotomy, magic lobotomy.
Kind of need to as well. Although these guys basically go crazy and can destroy the world, like happened before. But for a woman, they call it stilling because it's a punishment.
Mm.
Because why would you be gentle a woman? You know, because they don't have that madness. It must be for some other reason. You know, that would happen, breaking their own rules, etc. You know, and obviously that's something that they'll discuss more going forward. But and it's not a spoiler in any way just to call it that. So it's got two kind of words, but it ultimately means the same thing. They use the one power to. It's kind of like see the shield that you see them putting on Loghain, right?
Yep.
That blocks Loghain from accessing the one power, right? But as you saw, you can push against it and stuff like that as well, right? Stilling is very much like that, but instead of a kind of rough, it's a cut, and it severs the tie completely, and they can never access, they can never feel the one power again after that, which of course for a man makes them no longer dangerous then, or no dangerous than any man would be, you know? Yeah.
So I liked it a lot.
Yep. Did you have any kind of? Did you start thinking that this guy might be the dragon before all that happened?
No. I figured when he was when you first kind of see him, I think in the first episode, and they're all like, "Oh, this is the one claiming to be it." I was like, no. When what's her name said five, I was thinking Nynaeve or whatever, Nynaeve or whatever. Because I can't get the.
Well, there's so many pronunciations, because if you listen to the audiobooks, different narrators pronounce that different ways. And the book,
you know,
it just seems to be Nynaeve.
I got
Nynaeve, you know. So
Nynaeve. Okay, I can say Nynaeve, but I got to ask Mike Stackpole when the new Rogue Squadron audiobook came out. I was like, I'm nervous because I've pronounced these names the way, and I got some of them right according to him in our interview a couple of years ago. But he was asked by Del Rey for a list of pronunciations. So I don't know which audiobook would be the real one, but that is an interesting little insight that I found out is that at least some authors will be approached with a
with this book is that the author died before finishing it. So although he intended, you know, he even planned a further story at one point that was set in the same world but a different offshoot story somewhere else. I won't get into obviously any details on it. So is this a shame, you know, obviously when anybody passes away so young, but I think he was in 57 or something like that when he died. So, you know, really, really young. And we're just kind of thankful it got finished, you know, by someone else kind of using his notes and taking over. It's not ideal, but best of a bad situation, if you like.
Yeah.
So what about you, Christine? Your turn?
I really liked it. I liked how it's like everyone... is learning about the world, because they've, you know, been small town people for so long. And, you know, they're just soaking in the information that they're getting with going, you know, further into what was going on with Nynaeve. You know, yeah, her world that she knows it is shattered, but she's handling it well, in my opinion. You know, she's just, she's taking it in, asking questions. She's curious. I really like this character. She's very mature. And then, of course, like with the end, it's like, you know, crazy. I wasn't expecting it at all. So, you know, I liked the pacing, like how you had mentioned it. As soon as you said Battlestar Galactica, I knew what you meant by it. And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess so. Everyone gets their fair time, and the pacing is right. And, you know, just, I'm excited to see what's going to be happening next. I was really shocked with Matt, because I don't know if I missed something. You know, so it's like, I don't
think we missed anything, because I think they were purposefully hiding
it,
how much he's been affected, or
yeah,
if he was the source of like the nightmares and stuff, because they show everyone had bat dreams, but Matt definitely seems to be more unnerved in the first couple of episodes, but you could blame that on the parents, which isn't part of the book, as Cam explained. So I don't think we missed anything. I think this was like the first real revelation that he's doing things that he shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind. I'll get to that later.
Okay.
On you go.
Where was I going with this when you interrupted me? With that, it was just, Matt was really surprising, and I'm curious to see where it's going to go with that. As far as a grading, I want to give it an A, because I really liked it. It was exciting. We got to learn more about this world, and yeah, I'll just stick with that.
Okay, no problem at all. All right. Shall we take a quick break from our sponsors now before we get into my own thoughts, and then we'll get into everyone's sort of predictions and theories and everything like that as we wrap things up, okay?
Absolutely. Grow Generation, guys, take it away. Actually, Christine, you're reading it today. You just don't know it.
Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. From propagation to harvest, they have everything you need for your special garden. Grow Generation serves customers across the nation and carries a wide inventory of renowned cultivation brands. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow.
Okay, thank you very much to our sponsors, Grow Generation. Welcome back to The Dragon Reviewed. We've heard what Christine and what Kyle have thought about it, so we've got an A and an A minus so far, which is pretty good. I myself, and I'm going to explain my grade first before I get into why, because I can't talk about absolutely everything that I want to without getting into spoilers a little bit. But the reason I've given it an A+, which is the size it could be, is because there are things in this episode which, in my opinion, improve upon the books, which is rare when that happens. Mm. And I think I have to give them kudos for that.
I like that point of view.
How they explain, you know, now a good part of this is because the books are written from people's points of view, right? So you get maybe two or three characters' points of view. And that's why I said earlier on that even though the characters don't know who the dragon is yet, it kind of spoils that a little bit for the reader because of who the focus is on so much, all right? Now, one of the things that the show does is you can't tell what's going on in someone's head. So you can't see it from their point of view. You have to take that overall point of view and look at it. And I think that's allowed us to see, for example, the relationships between the warders and the Aes Sedai that they serve, just like you were talking about, Kyle, about that kind of how we see the different relationships between them. That's a kind of explain in the books, you know, or this, some detail is this is how it works. But we don't always get to see that because it's always done from someone else's point of view. So let's say, you know, when we're in a company of other Aes Sedai and warders, we'd probably be looking at things through Lan and Moraine's point of view. And they obviously have a very platonic relationship, you know, they're close, but there's no sexual stuff involved at all. And Blues are kind of like that in terms of they're very task focused, and they tend to only take one warder.
Like brother, sister, almost like, or like almost dutiful like son, almost kind of thing. Yeah,
but that's not always the case, and it's not, you know, there's one rule for an Azure, like the Blue, the Greens, whatever. They can all kind of do what they want, but it tends to be that Reds don't have warders. And Greens tend to take multiple warders, which, given that they're the battle Azure, kind of makes sense, because they're trying to put themselves into the worst situations. Having a couple of warders to keep your back might be quite good. But they then sometimes marry them, and they have those kind of relationships as well. There are other Azures we've not met yet. I won't go into them too much, because obviously you'll learn about them as they are introduced in the show as we go forward. Going over to the other stories, we've got Pern and Egwene, and they're kind of doing their thing with the Tinkers. We don't spend a lot of time with them.
Yeah.
We do spend a little bit more time in that in the books, and it kind of dragged a little bit, to be honest, until some stuff happens later on. All right. What I liked about this is they kind of cut all that down, probably chapters worth of content, into just one or two scenes, and still got the entire message of what Pern and Egwene are learning about the Tinkers and learning about the world as they go through it, just by a couple of conversations and that lovely story that they, it's not a lovely story, but you know, it's a really emotional story that she tells about her daughter. And, you know, the idea is that you should be questioning, you know, well, was that what I would do? I wouldn't do that. I would do something else. But, you know, is the truth in the words that she's saying? And then if we look at the Rand, Matt and Tom situation, that goes on village to village to village. Those three travel together for a little bit. Roughly the same split up happens. There's a fade. And there's Tom, and the other two go, right? So that's the same. But they kind of squished it all together, and I thought kind of did a lot more with what's going on with each of those characters in a short space of time as well. And the story Tom tells is the truth. That's in the books as well, but it's not necessarily that it comes out at that point. So by bringing that in, it kind of just added a lot more to Tom's character, and it... Ultimately, for me, they took about five chapters of the book this week and they squished it into one really good episode. And in actual, and some of them, they added a lot in as well, because although Loghain does get stilled in the books, you don't actually see it. That's an event that happens off screen, right? So it's just the same, you know, result is there. Right. But it's not something that you necessarily see happen on screen. The events are all kind of just mixed up a little bit in the show as well. And I thought it was a really dramatic conclusion. And I kind of didn't know what was going on as well. So at the point when, you know, that cage explodes and, you know, everybody's like dying, basically. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Lan's throat's cut and Marion's impaled. And I'm almost like going, what the fuck is going on here? You know what I mean? I don't understand it. How are they going to fix this? And of course, you know, what happened is what happened with Nynaeve, as this kind of big just burst of power that shocks everyone. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that you can see absolutely, and it's something you might learn a little bit more further down the line, is what we think of, you know, from what we've seen so far, is these powerful Aes Sedai. As the story evolves, you're going to realise most of the people that we've met so far are fairly timid in terms of the power scale. There's a lot more powerful people that we're going to meet than the Aes Sedai that we've seen so far. Not to say Maureen's not powerful, but, you know, you know, I won't go into that in too much more detail either, but yeah. There's just other good things in there that I can't really go into without spoiling.
I think I know something that is probably spoiler that you can't go into, but I caught it, and it just, when you said Moraine's name, when she comes down into the cave, that bitch, like, materializes out some fucking smoke. Like, her shadow is all weird coming across that wall. I don't know if it was an artifact of the lighting or if they were hinting at something, but... Yep. it goes from completely like a fluid type shadow to humanoid, and I think that was on purpose because I don't know how you could get lighting to her hair wasn't moving. I don't know if it's
the surface seemed to
I'd
be
need to have a teleport that in. I never. I mean, I could like, possibly confirm or deny that.
Yeah,
you know, so, it's just one of those things you're going to have to watch and find out. But
there you go.
I must admit, I never caught that watching that scene again. I do intend to watch it again this week anyway, because my wife's kind of been watching it with me, but she's only just starting episode 3 at the moment. She's working at the moment, shift, so it'll be a few days before we can catch up. So I'm definitely going to be watching it again before we speak next time. So I will have a lot of it. I'll pay a bit more close attention. I might not still be able to answer the question for you either way, but I'll pay more attention to it and kind of be able to give my opinion for sure. So yeah, there's much more I would like to explain about why I think it's an improvement on the books, but I can't do it without getting into spoiler territory too much.
Okay.
So, but there's reasons why I therefore am giving them kudos for taking the books and actually improving them in this episode, and that's why I've given it an A+. Not to say that I won't give other A+s out in the future. I certainly hope I do. But
that's pretty shocking. We'll see. What the way you. Way you worded it, because I mean, like you said, it's really hard for most book readers because of how much more detail you can get, and your mind's eye is always way more grand.
You know, you can't do that
exactly.
You can't do it. So, you know, so people say, "Oh, I hate when they change things from the books." You know, imagine a scene where, you know, there's a whole chapter, you know, a Harry Potter chapter where Harry's lying in his bedroom and he's imagining everything that he's going to do in Hogwarts. You know, how do you put that on screen? You can't, so you have to squish that together and you have to show rather than tell. Mm-hmm. And I think what the show did well this week was show rather than tell some of the stuff that you're told in the books.
See, I'm not seeing any.
Yeah.
There's like something weird with that, isn't there? Yeah,
he's trying to.
I actually got the on my phone. I can't show it to Cam because it's weird. But yeah, it's cool. There's something with the shadow. Her shadow's off. So
interesting. Mm. I will definitely watch that again.
It's right at like 52:20. Yeah, like 52:10.
Write that down. 52.
Yeah, like 52:10 play from there. His cage is like melting down and she comes walking in.
One thing I did love was how badass she looks when, you know, we've already established he's strong, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and stronger than maybe some of the, and there's only certain ones strong enough to shield him. They said that.
And they require
two. And then Marie just kind of stokes in for a wee chat. You know, oh good, you're awake. Let's have a wee chat, shall we? Because obviously as far as she's concerned, the way they're playing this in the show is, she needs to make sure, right, that he's not really the Dragon Reborn. Because if he is, does she let him get stilled? Does she let him get gentled? Does that not just destroy the whole prophecies and all the sort of stuff that happens, which, again, we'll find a lot more out about going forward. Let's get to predictions then. Anything, before I ask you questions, just anything you want to spit out or get into predictions-wise, either of the two, you just...
I still think when it comes to Matt, I don't necessarily think he's fully in control. One of the weird moments in the farmhouse is I see you, and he's got that knife. So you can think of, I don't know how. Yeah, and you don't know if he means he can see Tom and Rand, but behind him, if he can see the Fade or if he can see the dark figure that's been haunting their dreams. It's always easy to sit there and guess misdirection, but I'm so used to guessing misdirection. I'm like, oh wait, is this the double back? I don't think so. I don't know if like cursed items exist. I don't know what type of, you know, what he could have gotten a hold of, maybe even accidentally to cause the Dark One or Dark Friends to exert influence.
Well, I mean, just to point out, because this isn't spoilers, but remember he did, I'm not saying there's a connection here, but you just said where could he have got something. Remember he did pick up, he opened the box and in episode 2 he took out that dagger from Shadar Lagoth.
And also the traitor things.
The little gem as well. At the
the merchant guy.
Possible situations still.
That was kind of the thing that I thought. I enjoyed, again, the fight with Tom and the Fade. It's cool to see the humans be able to, like you said, use what humans can do against monsters that also have their own strengths and weaknesses. It's a very different show and a very, very different story. I like the Matt character as well. It's always interesting to see the person that can be influenced. Like I was kind of mentioning about Perrin being that stoic type, the one that's like, I don't want a burden, but if I got to take a burden, I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Matt and people like that type of character, because those are the heroes that we want to see. The George Washington that turns down a crown, you know, at the end of the American Revolution. Take that, you kid. No, I'm joking. People like a reluctant hero.
Yeah.
Because you question somebody that wants attention, but also people like the diamond in the rough. You know, they like the Matt character types as well, because we like to see someone overcome adversity. It's great to have a hero that can just do it, but it's awesome to see someone do something beyond a struggle. So I don't think necessarily that he'll end up being a bad guy, but that's just
so Tom thinks he can channel. Do you follow Tom's thinking? Do you think that's what's going on with
him? I think he can, but not either not knowingly or because of something that's affecting. I don't think he's like Tom's son who learned he could and ends up getting
nephew,
it's still pretty still pretty
nephew,
new.
Yeah. So
I don't think that he knows, you know, like what you were saying, like that he knows much. It is pretty new with what's going on, especially like when you see him shocked, like right before the little girl shows up, and you know, like something's out of his mouth, and he's kind of like just, what the hell just happened?
And there was something, you know, in his mouth as well when he, in that ICU scene, there was something you can see at his face, like some sort of smoky, shadowy type shit. Yeah.
It almost looked like the shit from the walled city, but it also, because it's darker in the scenes that I've seen it looks also like maybe even potentially that dark weaving shit. I don't know which one it might be, but
it could be either kind of thing.
I don't think he's necessarily cognizant of doing anything bad, and that's if he actually has done anything himself. I mean, think of like a parasite, something that it could be within him that uses him to get to a location, exits him, does the dirty work, and then goes back in for hiding. That's a potential as well.
Yeah, it's something that's been used in stories before. Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah. Christine, any predictions from you at this point that you want to talk about before I kind of ask you guys some questions?
Oh God, predictions? I don't have any. Just with the information I got, I'm kind of like still trying to figure things out. There's still so much to learn. It's still pretty new. I don't really have any predictions yet. I'm still kind of like, what's going on
Do you think that was? Oh well, I'll let Cam ask questions. Okay. If he doesn't ask it, then
if there's a question that you want to ask, absolutely, just fire in. So, start off with the one we kind of finished with last week, then, and just get everybody's thoughts right away on this. Who's the dragon? All right,
so that's exactly what I was gonna.
Who do you think it is?
I'm leaning more towards Perrin now. It's still kind of like, don't quite know yet, but it just, I don't know. I guess it's who I want it to be now that I've seen more.
That's kind of like what your hope is almost. Do you know what I mean? The rest that's going that way.
Jumping
on
the Perrin train now, Christina.
Shut up. But I'm leaning more towards him.
Interesting. And what about you, Kyle?
I mean, like I said, they make a big deal out of what's her name doing what she does at the end, but Nynaeve. But they haven't explained enough about any type of like Super Saiyan moments that Aes Sedai can have, where a burst of emotion can cause temporary boost. So I don't know if that necessarily means she is the Tinker's story. It's not Tinkerers, it's just Tinkers, right?
Tinkers. Okay, their proper name is the Tuathan, the kind of colloquial name they get called is the Tinkers.
Kind of like Christine used the what I think modern call them Romana, but Gypsy used to be the colloquial
more
term
based on
back
the
in the
Irish
day.
Gypsy kind of thing rather there, than the Irish go. Traveler rather than the Romani God. Traveler. But again, you know, combinations of these things mixed together, I guess. Yeah.
Perrin in there, and he's now getting exposed to war and peace, which is funny because I once said the way the Wheel of Time sounds is it's like 14 volumes of war and peace, but for fantasy. And someone said that was like a great example that this is the war and peace of fantasy. But
yeah.
Seeing him get that type of exposure and some of the questions the Tinkers posed to him about, you know, was picking up the axe worth it and stuff like that. It kind of leads again enough of a bedrock that, barring them, you know, shitting on that next week and saying, yeah, it is Nanini, but I do stick with Perrin. I'm sticking to it until it's proven wrong.
Yeah, because they also keep, you know, talking about age. They said that the guy who claimed to be the fifth was too old, and Nynaeve just seems to be too old. So mm-hmm. It's like, I don't see that.
But you
unless,
also
unless
to,
she could be younger than what she thinks she is, potentially, because, you know, she, suppose she didn't really grow up with her parents, as we found mm-hmm. out, you know, she was brought there by the wisdom of another village. So suppose there's that dangling in there, whereas mm-hmm. I don't think that really was the case with Loghain. I think mm-hmm. he was clearly, they knew what age he was, and he was just too old. So, mm-hmm.
You could see it in his face, the, you know, the signs of aging, just a little bit. So it's...
And I also wonder, because just from the way Cam is with age and the way they are with it in the book, and not just age, prophecy... I'm wondering if there might be some wiggle room there. I don't know, but I'm could sticking be. With Perrin for now. It just seems like that low-key character that you build just enough while you flash a bunch of things over here and there.
Sorry,
to,
my daughter,
to distract
me. Ask me something to say.
Oh, you're fine.
Don't ask Adam if you need to hold up the drink. Yeah. Sorry, children.
Yeah, our son interrupted an interview with Jason Stewart on the Daily Cog this past week. That was awesome. But yeah,
that's why.
So I'm sticking with Perrin, man.
Okay, that's cool. My prediction is, oh yeah, I can't. So Tom Maryland, there's me.
That's a
no, obviously, because I can't be Tom. He's far too old. Is Tom dead? Is that him? Is his goose cooked? You don't hear him die on screen.
Mm-mm.
So it's...
I hope not. I like the idea of the wise old man character that double speaks. That
helps navigate these two characters. You know, so I would want him around. So
and he's also a good. He's a good. I don't want to say foil. That's not the right word. But he's a good. In universe, person with a blind spot. You find out he does have a trauma. He's got a sad story, and that means that despite all the wealth of knowledge that he could have, there's always the chance for bias with it, which allows the other characters to get some growth. So I hope he sticks
around. Well, I mean, that's it. Even a character like a Gleeman who relates stories of the past, it's going to be from a certain point of view always. And that certain point of view isn't necessarily always going to be the truth about what actually happened. Interesting. Okay, next question. We've kind of went into it already, which was the whole can Matt channel, what's going on with Matt kind of thing. So we've kind of covered that off already. One question we didn't get into, though, does any of you think that it was Matt that killed the family, or do you believe it was the Fade? Because they kind of, the way they present it is almost like that's what's happened until we get in there and we find the Fade. But was it the Fade that killed that family, or was it Matt?
Yeah, because, I mean, you get the warning of, you know, Matt needs to stay away from women for some reason. And so I think he did it. Yeah, I just get this feeling. Yeah.
Just maybe, do you think he knowingly did it or no?
I don't think he knowingly did it. Because he seemed kind of shocked when he saw the little girl on the ground.
I feel strong about my... a blend between the, you know, either he's being acted through or he's got a parasite and he's just mobile transport for something that hops out, does some dirty shit. The dagger could have easily been him in the house, running in there to fight the whatever, or having gone in, been invited, you know, whatever the case may be. And when the thing comes out, maybe the dagger's to fight it off. Regardless, I think
Fade, you know, what you think is that was the Fade just got there kind of thing then? Because
I'm
the
not
Fade's
sure.
not going to have just sat there.
Right,
know,
right.
Being quite all calm and
no,
I'll just wait for
no.
these guys
like
to come up.
Like maybe Matt heard something going on and he goes to check it out. I'm, you know, maybe the Fade was trying to track them down, but I really feel like he was in the house. I just don't know if the whatever's affecting him is affecting him directly where it exerts all of its actions using Matt's body, or if it's just using Matt to travel. But yeah, I don't know if he actually has blood on his physical hands or not.
Or maybe he's in denial or something.
Could be. I don't know. It just feels like he's got something exerting some control. So
interesting. I think we'll probably, you know, get a lot of answers to a lot of the questions that we've kind of asked already within, I think, season one anyway. Certainly, you know, within the next few episodes, I would like to think we'll start to get some sort of clarity on a few of these
episodes,
things.
Right?
Eight episodes. Yep. So we're halfway through now. Yeah, halfway through. Quite a lot still to cover from the books, but I would say...
And this was a longer episode, by about 5 minutes, than
yeah,
the others.
Yeah,
the others
which kind of makes sense, because they had a lot to cover. So
I
would say where we are in the books is, because they've went out of order, it's kind of almost halfway through, but some parts of it were more than that, if that makes sense. Some of it were halfway through, some of it were more than that.
I understand that.
You know, it'll be interesting to see, but I think they've definitely got enough time to wrap everything up within this season anyway that they have to. It's interesting thinking about the story, and you guys talk about, you know, what you like about the story, because once we get into season two, stories are going to change quite dramatically.
Yeah.
And even more so once we get to three and four, and you know, it's going to keep shifting along in a very different direction. I've got one final question for you guys. Is there any romance forming between any of the characters so far on screen? Now, obviously, we start off with Egwene and Rand being a kind of item, but, so you know, they were split up at the moment. Can you see that? Any other romances forming between any of the characters at this moment in time?
Yeah, funny that you say that, because it seems like Lan's character and Yennefer are... They're connecting a little bit, but I don't know if it's romantic or not.
I get you,
but
yeah,
so it's kind of like one of those that's like, maybe.
Mm.
But other than that, it's like, I don't see anything. You know, just, you know, Perrin just lost his wife, and, you know, that's going to be far from his head, unless, you know, the writers are like, no, we're just gonna do this. You know, I hope it's not like that.
He didn't have the wife in the
book,
right?
He didn't have the wife in the books, but I think it would be... I can't say what's going to happen next in the story either, in some
it
ways.
Would
but,
disingenuous
it would
be disingenuous to ignore.
To do that and then do something
ignore
like that so quickly, probably, wouldn't it?
Exactly.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. All right.
I'm not as good on picking that stuff up. I don't necessarily, they of course show the handsome tinker dude talking to Egwene. And talking to her, and but she's like, yeah, there's a guy out there, and he, you know, doesn't push anything, but they show that there's at least some interest in her specifically, not necessarily romantic, but you start wondering, like what Christine mentioned about Lon and Nynaeve, and I don't know, fantasy is one of those things where romance can just become a drag on it, so I hope that we don't go down any big, like, traditional. I don't need what's her name from Lord of the Rings.
Aragorn and Arwen. Thing,
yeah, I don't need Aragorn and Arwen, you know, type cringe.
Destined, like, to be together, and you know.
Yeah, just stuff. if someone falls in love, that's fine. Rand and
you know, I'm
coming
a big
back
Tolkien
together
fan,
okay.
So I listen to that just to point it, because I love the classical, you know, style of Tolkien, but that's Tolkien, you know. And if you try to do that, I think you'll never do it as well as Tolkien did. So, you know, you should always be doing something slightly different from that.
Yeah.
And I think okay, that's excellent, guys. That's pretty much it then. So, any other words that you've got before we wrap things up?
Guys, check out Anime Reversal Reviews. We're able to do the recordings right, so that should be up already by the time you're listening to this. If you're into anime, Miroko-chan, and then Marvel Multiverse Mondays, we did Hawkeye and our Marvel Multiverse Mayhem. Sorry, it used to be Mondays. We did Hawkeye episodes 1 and 2, and this week we have to do Hawkeye and one of the Spider-Man Homecoming. Daily Cup of Genre, yeah, all that good stuff's out there. Check it out, and then in January we're picking up with No Mercy again.
Yep, yeah. Can't wait.
Yeah, Cobra Kai podcast, and yeah, guys, that's it from me.
Great. Okay. Thanks very much.
You've
covered everything. We'll be back next week for episode 3 of The Dragon Reviewed, and we'll be covering obviously episode 5 of the show. Hope it's as good as it was this week. Thanks, everyone, for listening or watching, wherever you are. And please tune in again next week to find out some crazy theories from some guys that haven't read the books, which is what this is all about. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You, too, could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.
Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video, find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.